Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3 this morning, please. 1 John chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'd like to introduce to you some friends of ours that are visiting us this weekend from Michigan. Larry and Bernie Stevens. Larry and Bernie and Sue and I all ministered together at Lake Lansing Baptist Church, where I pastored for 12 years. And Larry and Bernie were very active and continue to be active in serving the Lord. And they were Mr. and Mrs. Awana at our church. He was the Awana commander during that time, and planned all the things like Grand Prix and Fairmont Fairs and all of those kind of things. And then Larry also served in many capacities, and Bernie in the church as well. And Larry was a deacon and chairman of the deacons periodically, and also Bernie was the pianist and organist in the church. Of course, she didn't do both at the same time, you know, but either the piano or the organ from time to time. And so very active. Our daughter was dear friends with their daughter and about the same age, and so it was just a wonderful blessing to have them come visit us this weekend and spend some time with us and see us again. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one." Oh, I'm in 4. Just a minute. Let me go back to 3. No wonder it didn't look right. I was one page too far. Let's do chapter 3, verse 11. "For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another." Very similar to what we just read over in chapter 4, right? All right, so then it says, and here's a strange thing. This passage is now going to tell us proper ways to love and improper ways to love. Ways to really show your love and ways not to show your love. In fact, in this passage, there's going to be 3 ways that we're not to love. As he's telling us how to love and that we ought to love, he's going to tell us some ways not to love. And, you know, that's how all of life is, isn't it? There is always a positive and a negative side to everything. You can carry that to just about every area of life. For everything that we have to do, there are some things that we should not do, cannot do. And that's part of the Christian life, and that's part of living. So this passage is going to start with, what's verse 12, the first word? Not. Okay, so now it's going to give us one of these negative ways of not to love. He's just told us to love. Now again, John's epistle here, his short letter, is kind of like a spiral staircase. A spiral staircase, you kind of go around and then you come around and you go around and you come around, and we're going to see that he keeps visiting the same topics over and over in this book. This is not the first time we've had the topic of love. And he talks about obedience and he talks about truth, and before we finish this little epistle, we're going to come around again to love, and we're going to come around to obedience, and we're going to come around to truth, and it's just going to keep going around like a spiral staircase. But in a spiral staircase, what do you do as you're going up the staircase? You get a little higher each time. So is it any wonder that he's going to bring us continually to a higher level of love as we study in this epistle, and a higher level of obedience, and a higher level of truth? And so as you think of it, that's a good illustration to talk about these topics, a spiral staircase. And guess what? All of us who know Christ are somewhere on that spiral staircase today. And we might be at this level in our love, or we might be in this level at our love, and we might be a little, but we are always progressing upward in our love and in our obedience and in our acceptance of truth. And so each time John returns to the topic, we will have a different point of view, and we'll dig in a little deeper into that topic each time. We've already learned back in chapter 2 that one of the ways that you can show and demonstrate that you are walking in light is that you have love for the brethren. We've already dealt with that back in chapter 2. And we have fellowship. And that's one of the ways we demonstrate that we are having fellowship with God, as we love the brethren. But here in this passage now, the emphasis is not necessarily on fellowship, but it's on relationship. Now we can show that we have this special relationship, being born of God. And we saw that phrase last Sunday, remember, born of God. We saw it several times in this book, born of God. Well, if you have been born of God, you now have a special relationship with God. And one of the ways you demonstrate that special relationship is by loving the brethren. And what was the other way we showed that special relationship? We talked about it last week. Obeying. If you go back to verse 10, it says, in this is manifest, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, so if you don't obey and don't keep God's laws and live righteously, that's a demonstration that you're what? Not a child, of God. But then it also says, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we're talking about a relationship here, a relationship with God. And we're looking this morning at how this true believer now demonstrates his relationship with God by his love for others and love for the brethren. Back in chapter 2, this love was likened to a matter of light and darkness. If you love, you're walking in light. If you don't love, you're walking in darkness. Now, in this passage, it's a little more serious, because it's not a matter of light and darkness any longer. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death in this passage. And if you do not love in chapter 2, you're walking in darkness. If you do not love in chapter 3, you're abiding in death. Wow. Abiding in death. So this is a serious matter. And we have in these next several verses here in chapter 3, we have four levels of relationships that are described. And as I mentioned earlier, three of them are negative, and one of them is positive. Two are Christian. One is a little less than Christian. One is compatible with true Christian love. So two aren't even Christian. Two levels here that we're going to look at. One level could be Christian, but it's not quite where it should be. And then one is true Christian love. So this morning we're going to look at these four attitudes, or these four levels of relationships. And the first one is mentioned there in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And then if you skip down to verse 15, it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, it's a little unusual for a pastor to stand up in the pulpit and say, now, I'd rather you not murder anybody today, okay? Please don't go out and murder somebody. That's the first level that's talked about here. Because you didn't have proper love, what happened in that relationship? Cain went out and murdered his brother, killed his brother. It's the level on which Satan exists, because back in John 8:44, what does it say about Satan? He is a murderer from the beginning, and a liar, the father of lies. A murderer from the beginning. So this is the level that Satan lives on. He's a murderer. Now, this is certainly not a Christian level. No Christian lives on this level. And I'm not saying that it's not possible for a Christian to lose control and do that kind of an act, but that's not a Christian action. That's not a Christian activity. We are to love one another. And it says in verse 11, "For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning." Now, when you say from the beginning, what are we talking about from the beginning? Well, here it's not talking about Genesis 1:1. It's talking from a beginning that you had. And what beginning does every Christian have to have? The new birth. So when it's talking about from the beginning here, it's talking about the beginning of your relationship with God, of the beginning of your walk with God, of the beginning of your having been born of God. And so that this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, from the first when you got saved. This was the message, that you should love one another. And so that is the spiritual activity that one who's been born of God participates in. He loves the brethren. And because our spiritual life originated with God, our love originated with God. And if we're still hating and have this murderous thoughts in our heart, what does that demonstrate? That originated with Satan and not with God. If we were to turn back to Genesis chapter 4 and look at the story of Cain and Abel there, we would soon discover that this is an example of a life of hatred. And it's interesting. Cain and Abel were brothers. They both had the same parents, the same home life. They both brought sacrifices to God. They both were worshipers in that sense. But like we learned last week when we talked about pretenders and masquerading, a child of the devil can masquerade as a believer. And Cain could masquerade as a genuine worshiper. You know, every one of us have a physical lineage, and we also have a spiritual lineage. And Cain's attitudes and actions originated where? His attitudes and actions, both as a result of his physical, he inherited the sin nature, but also that where was his life still at? It had originated with Satan in his spiritual lineage there. And so he was like Satan, a murderer and a liar from the beginning. That was his spiritual lineage. And so this first level is that level of murder. And of course, that's a totally non-Christian level. But then notice, if you go back to 1 John 3, says verse 13 to 15, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life," and there's that life and death situation, "because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother." Now, you remember recently, Brother Ken and the one adult class studied the Beatitudes, and that was a several-month study of the Beatitudes. And you remember that in the study of the Beatitudes, often Jesus said, "Ye have heard, but I say. Ye have heard, but I say." Well, one of the things that Jesus said there, ye have heard that you shall not commit adultery. But then what does he say? But I say unto you, he that looketh on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Then the same thing is true about murder. Thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, he that hateth his brother hath committed murder in his heart already. And so what does Jesus do? He brings those attitudes to the forefront that later can be characterized by an action, but the attitude is just as sinful as the action. And so we go here, a little digression, to the attitude that caused the murder in the first place. What was the attitude? Hatred. And so that's the second non-Christian level at which someone can function. This hatred, some of us to say this morning, say, well, man, I am really going well this morning. I've never murdered anybody. I've never murdered anybody. But have you hated? What have you hated? Because that's the next level here. The only difference is the outer act. There's the inner hatred, and the intent is the same. You know, I read the illustration about a person who went to the zoo, and a person was standing there looking in the lion's cage at the lions, and the lion was laying there on its back, and it was just rolling around, and it reached out, and there was a big ball there, and it reached out and swatted that ball, and the person said, you know, I've got cats at home, and my cats act just like that. They roll on their back, and they reach out and swat the ball, and says, isn't it too bad that we have these beautiful cats in a cage, and they aren't free, and he said that, you know, they're just big cats. And the zookeeper looked at her and said, yeah, the reason we have them in this cage because there's something else in the heart of that animal. That animal is also a murderer, and we don't want that cat to be loose. Well, this is the same thing that we're talking about here. We have something in our hearts that at times can cause us to lash out to others. And why is it that some people never do murder? Oh, they might say, man, I'd like to kill that guy. But they don't do it. Why? Well, they're afraid of certain things, aren't they? They're afraid of getting caught and being sent to prison. They're afraid of shaming perhaps their family. They're afraid of perhaps even if they live somewhere where corporal punishment is still practiced, that they might still lose their own life. So there are certain checks and balances that keep some people from committing the act that might be in their heart. But Jesus said, if you hate, you've already as well as done the act. And so, again, back here in our passage, 1 John 3, whosoever, verse 15, hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So this is still a matter of life and death. So there's two levels of relationship here that we're warned not to be involved in, murder and hate. But let's look at the third level. And this is a level that it's possible for a Christian to be involved in, but the Christian should not be involved in this level. It's possible to be, but it shouldn't be. Notice the level here in verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And so here's a level that we would call indifference. You see a need, you have the ability to meet that need, and you can't be bothered. I'll just turn my head and pretend I didn't see that need and didn't know that need. And what's the question here? If you do that, verse 17, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, please don't think I'm trying to pressure, but, you know, these little boxes, they do meet a need. They really do meet a need. We have testimony of hundreds and hundreds of children who come to Christ because somebody cared enough to fill a little box and show the love of Christ to them. And we all can help with needs when we see them. And I know that I'm preaching almost what you'd call preaching to the choir here, because I know, I'm your pastor, I know how much this congregation does of that sort of thing. We help people and we love people and we give to, I know that. But we can always do more, can't we? We can always do more. And God can use us in wonderful ways. So the test of our Christian love is not just saying no to murder and evil and hatred. It's saying yes to, let me help with that. Let me get involved. Cain had false love. Christ had true love, because when he saw the need, what did he do? He met the need. Christian love involves service and sacrifice, not just talking about love. What did Christ do? In Romans 5:8, you know the verse, it says, but God commendeth. What does the word commendeth mean? Demonstrate, show, prove. God demonstrated, God proved, God showed his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. He demonstrated. And so we have God and we have Christ as the example of one who was willing to sacrifice on the behalf of others. In John 10, Jesus, talking about his own death, said, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down. So he sacrificed. Notice this verse here, verses 16 and 17 that we just read in 1 John 3. In verse 16, we see the word brethren. What is brethren? Plural, right? So we have this laying down our lives for the brethren. But now it goes from the general and the plural. In verse 17, it's the singular and the specific. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother. Now that goes from many and general to one and specific. You know what, God, we probably all cannot this morning individually meet all the needs of all the brethren. But what can we do? We can meet the needs of one. We can be involved in the life of one. We can go to that one. Many, many years ago, it was on one of my earliest trips to Israel, we stopped at a location partway down as you descend from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea. And you go from way up above sea level in Jerusalem to way down below sea level. And so partway down, there was a It's kind of humorous. There was a sign by the road saying, please roll up your windows. You just went below sea level. You know, because they wanted to, it was a, you know, kind of a cute joke. But right around that area, we stopped at a location that was described as being the location of where the Good Samaritan Inn had once been located. And you all know the story of the Good Samaritan, don't you, in Luke 10? And this parable of the Good Samaritan. And the question that Jesus was answering was, who is my brother? Who is my neighbor? And what's the answer? What's the general answer that we get from that? Who is my brother? Who's my neighbor? Whoever has a need, right? The one that we see with a need, that's our neighbor. That's our brother. And I'm, for years, and I've got to find it, it's somewhere, for years, while I was there at the Good Samaritan Inn, kicking around in the dirt and dust, I found a slug out of a big rifle laying on the ground from probably some of the battles that took place in that area. And I picked up that slug and stuck it in my pocket. And for years, I used to carry that in my pocket, kind of like a soothing stone. You know what a soothing stone is, where people have something smooth in there and they're always rubbing it? Boy, that bullet was really shiny because I had it in my pocket and I would carry it around. But you know what it also reminded me of? Where I found it, by the Good Samaritan Inn, reminding me that I ought to have love for my neighbor and love for my brother. And if we're a murderer, we're sinners, according to this passage. If we hate, we're sinners. But you know, it can also be sin to ignore and be indifferent toward the needs of others. Galatians tells us that we are to do good to what? All men, and especially to those who are the household of faith. But do good unto all men. And doing good, you know, a lot of times we think, well, doing good just involves money. No, it doesn't. Doing good involves a lot more than just money. Doing good involves maybe spending a visit and a short time with somebody who's lonely. Doing good could maybe mean going and raking some leaves or doing an errand or writing a letter. There's all kinds of things that we could do that are good to those that we need to show love to. But then lastly in this passage, we've got these first three levels. Hatred, that's not part of the Christian life. And murder, that's not. And indifference, that's not. But let's get to the one final one here, starting in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and we are in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so, genuine Christian love here is this last one. This is genuine love of the brethren. And it's loving not just in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. So he's coming back to that spiral staircase, and he's now mentioning obedience and truth and... What is James 2? Let's turn quickly to James, back just a short ways, just a couple of books to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 15. It says, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And so again, James visits the same truth here, that it's not just enough to be concerned. We have to do what? Take the next step and meet the need. Do something about it. And it's not just enough to talk about it. It's not just enough to have feelings about it. We need to get involved and do something about it. And there are some wonderful blessings that come to us if we do indeed do that. They are mentioned in this passage. At least three blessings for the genuine Christian love that is shown. Here's what blessings you will accrue. Look at verse 19 and 20. What's the blessing? Verse 19 says, and shall assure our hearts before him. Do you know what we get when we love others in deed and truth? That brings assurance to our own hearts. What assurance? That we're really a child of God. that we are demonstrating love. Secondly, in verse 21 and 22, we have confidence, verse 21, verse 22, and whatsoever he asks. So what's the second blessing that comes as a result of loving the brethren as we ought? Answered prayer. We have confidence in prayer. So there's personal assurance of your relationship with God, and there's answers to prayer. And then look at verse 23 and 24. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments, what's another word for keeping his commandments? Obeying. Remember our spiral staircase, all right? And dwelleth in him, and he in him. What's that talking about? Well, you remember the passage in John 15 about abiding in the vine? Well, this is talking about our abiding in Christ. That one of the results will be that abiding in Christ will grow. And verse 24 says at the end, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so three of the blessings, assurance, answered prayer, and abiding. And I didn't even come up with those three A's. They were all right here already. But what wonderful blessings that are ours when we love the brethren and demonstrate our love for the brethren and do something to show our love for the brethren. So this passage is kind of unusual in that it starts with three negatives. Don't love by murdering, don't love by hating, don't love by showing indifference, but love in deed and in truth. That's what John wants us to know here, how to love. Question, is that the kind of love we have, or do we still have selfishness in our hearts? Are we still indifferent? If we could get away with it, would we commit murder? Are we known by our love? Let's ask the Spirit of God that's mentioned in verse 24 to reveal to each of us as individuals whether we have any of that lack of love going on in our lives and our hearts today. And the Spirit that abides in us will tell us right where we rank in this area of Christian love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that as believers, we have passed from death unto life through our relationship with Christ. But now we know that we need to demonstrate that relationship by our righteous living and by our loving one another. Those are the ways we demonstrate that indeed we have passed from death unto life. We are genuine. And Father, I pray that today we would all personally examine our commitment to you and our attitude of love toward others. Father, help us to even do better when it comes to this Christian grace, to even do better at loving people to Christ, even do better at showing that love, sacrificial service, taking time, energy to show that love. And this week, Father, I pray that you will lay it upon our hearts to perhaps pick a particular person to whom we can show that love. As your Spirit leads us, help us to be sensitive and open and obedient as we demonstrate that love. While our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I don't want to close this service this morning without first of all saying, you know, the Christian experience is a matter of life and death. Those who do not know Christ, the Bible says they are walking in death. They're already dead in trespasses and sins. And if they die physically while they're still dead spiritually, unfortunately, the Word of God is very clear that they will spend an eternity separated from God in punishment and in hell. But there is life in Christ. There is hope in Christ. And for that one who has never experienced that eternal life, Christ stands ready to save you today. He has done all that's necessary. He has shed his blood and taken away the sting of death and the sting of sin, and he can give you eternal life today if you'll just turn to him and trust him, accept him as your personal Savior. If there's one who has never done that, as much as I know how today, I want to urge you to do that. But for those of us who know Christ, let's ask God to show us how strong and good our love is today. Is it what it ought to be? Just because we're saved doesn't mean we don't have that old nature, and oftentimes that old nature is selfish, and that old nature doesn't care. Help, we pray, God, that you'd help us overcome that old nature and walk as you'd have us walk. Is there anyone say, you know, Pastor, as God has spoken to my heart this morning, I want to examine my love, my level of love, and as God reveals it to me, I want to have a greater commitment to demonstrate that love. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Anybody? You can say, I want to have a greater commitment to demonstrate that love to others. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Lord, you know our needs as a congregation and as individuals, and I pray that we might today please you in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray.